Good morning. It's a joy and a privilege to come share the word of God with you this morning. It's good to see all of you. Please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. We're going to be focusing on Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through to 30. But for the sake of context, we will start reading from verse 25, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Our focus will be on 28 through to 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding." Sorry, let me start again. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, having sung songs of praises and adoration. Now we come to listen to your word preached. Would you speak, Father God? Would you speak to those who labor and are heavy laden? We pray, Father God, for your spirit to be at work in our hearts, in our minds. We pray, Father God, that you will make your word effective in the hearts of the people. I pray, Father God, that you use me just as an instrument through which you speak to your people. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So the title of my message is True Rest for Weary Souls, True Rest for Weary Souls. My thesis is this, my argument is this morning. Christ offers true rest, therefore accept his invitation. Christ offers true rest, therefore accept his invitation. A 13th century church father by the name of Augustine coined this really pivotal expression: "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find rest in you." You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find rest in you. He had come to the end of himself, and Christ has sought him, and he had graciously saved him. Before that, he had sought to quieten his life, his weary soul, by a succession of desperate attempts, fulfillment in excessive pleasures, false religions, philosophy, overindulgence in sensual pleasures, and distractions. All of these had left him weary and desperate. And the Lord graciously saved him as he read his word. And today, Matthew, in verses 28 through to 30, speaks about this true rest that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. And he invites you to listen in as the Lord invites you to come experience true rest for your weary soul. Just for a little bit of context, we do know that the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as king. In fact, the first 10 chapters of Matthew detail this very fact, present the account of our Lord Jesus Christ as king. And the second thing that we see in the very gospel is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as king. And this we find detailed in chapters 11 through to 28. As a matter of fact, in this portion that we've just read, maybe a little bit before that, in verse 20, Jesus was preaching in different villages or cities, and some of these cities had rejected him, that rejected his gospel. And he pronounces judgment on these cities. In verse 20, he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. They were acting in unbelief. In verse 21, he starts to pronounce judgment. He says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you, and for Capernaum will be exalted, and you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." So Jesus had pronounced judgment on these unbelieving cities. And now, when we come to verse 28, he turns around and he issues out an invitation to the people gathered to come listen to him. And I want us to look at some of the aspects of this invitation. I want us to look at three aspects of this invitation. The first aspect will be the invitation itself, The second aspect will be the instruction. What does he invite them to? What is it that he wants them to do, having invited them? The third thing that I want us to look at is the incentive. What is it that he sort of presents? What is it that he gives as an incentive for those who come, for those who accept his invitation? First thing, let's look at the invitation. Verse 28, the invitation. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." First, I want you to notice that the invitation is from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is him who says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." And I want us to look at the kind or the way in which he presents this invitation. This invitation is present. He says, "Come and come now. There's no time to delay. As you hear this invitation, respond by coming to me." Respond by coming to me. And this invitation is exclusive. It is an exclusive invitation. He does not invite them to other people. He does not invite them to a program. He does not invite them to a denomination. He does not invite them to a doctrine, but he invites them to himself. So this is an exclusive invitation to come to him and him only. Notice also that this invitation is imperative. It is a command. It is a command. There's an urgency to it. There's an urgency to it. And when Jesus issues out a command to men and women, he does so with authority. It is unthinkable that any command any invitation to the ones who labor and are heavy laden would come from anyone else but God himself. It's unthinkable. But yet, there are many people gathered in churches today where the so-called men of God are inviting people to come, not to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to themselves. They're drawing men and women to themselves. Woe to such men. But here we see that this invitation is exclusive. Who's being invited? And the answer is, all are invited. But it's not all in the general sense. It's all in a very restricted sense. Come to me, all who do what, who labor and are heavy laden. The invitation is for those who labor and are heavy laden. It is restricted to those who, in fact, are laboring and are being heavy laden. These two verbs are connected. One is the cause, another is the effect. Laboring is the effect, and heavy laden is the cause. But what is it that Jesus is speaking about here? Jesus is speaking about those who labor. These are those who grow weary and are tired, and they're tired because the labor that they are embarking on has driven them to exhaustion. They're almost at their wit's end because of the labor. It is a present continuous sense, and it describes men and women whose attempt to deal with sin on their own has become futile. They're stuck in their personal misery, and they're going round and round in circles, and they can't get out of this quagmire they're in. They're wearied out. They're frustrated because they can't seem to get out. They're overburdened. And Jesus was speaking to this group of people. And the word heavy laden speaks about a burden that is placed on oxen, a burden that's placed on an oxen that drives the oxen to the ground. It's weighing heavily on those who carry it or those who are made to carry it that they can't anymore because they're tired, they're exhausted, because the burden is wearisome. The burden is oppressive. And Luke describes this very condition in chapter 11, verse 46. He says, "Woe to you, lawyers, as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." So these are the laws and the restrictions and the prescriptions that all these Jewish leaders have imposed on the people, and the law itself that they have got to carry out. So the crowd that is gathered here is exhausted as a result of these external pressures that are coming onto them. And they can't measure up. They can't measure up.
But wait a minute. I think we can sit here and discuss these people. But I do know that many of you sitting here today carry burdens. You carry the burdens. You carry burdens. You wear it out. You're exhausted. You're going round and round in circles. And you're frustrated because there does not seem to be a way out. And this pressure, this heavy burden that you carry manifests itself in broken relationships, in a sense of inadequacy. I can't do this. You just feel like you can't measure up. And in order to deal with this pressure, you've done many things. You've worked harder and harder and harder, and yet you have come to the end of yourself. You've tried to make more money. You've tried to indulge in stuff that will make you happy. And yet, when all is said and done, you still feel wearied out. You can't meet the goal. You can't meet the standard. Jesus would say to you today, come. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites all of you sitting here today. If you're not saved, Jesus invites you to come have a relationship with him. He invites you to come and know him. Jesus wants to reveal God the Father to you. We do know that Jesus is reveals the Father. Jesus is God incarnate. He reveals the Father. He reveals the love of the Father. He reveals the forgiveness of the Father. He reveals the mercies of the Father. And he beckons you to come so that you will know the Father. You will know the forgiveness of the Father. You will know the kindness of the Father. You will know the help or the aid of the Father. And that is why he says, come. He wants you to come right here, right now. And many refuse this invitation. They say, thank you, I don't need this invitation. And what they're saying in essence is, I've got things that I trust in. I've got things that satisfy me. I've got things, idols to run to. I don't need this invitation. I can't accept this invitation because the stuff that I put my hope in, I'll find better rest elsewhere. And yet, Jesus offers this exclusive invitation because he knows that you can't find rest from anywhere else or anyone else. True rest is found in him. There's not any relationship that would satisfy. There's not money. There's not any accolades that could satisfy. There's not any TV or internet that will satisfy your soul. There's absolutely nothing that will be able to do that. Jesus alone satisfies. So you either go to other things or you hearken to Jesus beckoning for you to come. We've seen the invitation, and now I want us to look at the instruction. Verse 29. Jesus says, verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I want us to observe this verse closely. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. This is a strange command. He's just said, come to me, all those who labor, all those who toil and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But instead of giving this rest, he instructs his listeners and he says, take my yoke. One would have thought that he would say, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will take your yoke away. I will relieve you from your burdens. I will make you walk away burden free. But he seems to add a yoke. He seems to add a burden onto a burden or burdens that these people are carrying already. Or does he? Or does he? What is this yoke that Jesus is instructing his listeners to take? But before I answer that question, also notice that it is the act of the one that's listening, the one that is listening has got to voluntarily take the yoke. It's not a yoke that is going to be placed onto them. It is a yoke that they have got to voluntarily, consciously take upon themselves. They've got to bend and lift this yoke and put it on themselves. What it is this yoke, and why is Jesus not relieving them of the burden that they carry? Why does he want to add onto the burden? One theologian puts it this way. He says, in exhorting them to take his yoke, Jesus was inviting them to discipleship. A pupil enrolling for instruction under a teacher is considered as coming under a yoke. Instead of exchanging one burden for another, however, it is exchanging one which is onerous and crushing for one which is light and rewarding. That's how one theologian describes it. Another way in which some theologians look at this yoke is, I don't know if you know what a yoke is. It is either a wooden bar or a metal bar which runs across two animals, and the necks of the animals are fitted into this yoke, and this yoke or these bars are attached to harnesses so that with the harnesses you can control the movement of the animals. And also, the yoke is attached, or the farming equipment is attached to the yoke. It's attached to this bar, to this metal bar, or this wooden bar. And in this sense, these theologians are saying this is a metaphor where Jesus pulls the one side of the yoke and he invites the listeners to pull the other side of the yoke so that two people, instead of one, are pulling together so that the burden is not as heavy as it would have been if one person was pulling it. So there is a sense in which that is happening. Another suggestion is that a yoke is a symbol of subjugation. So the one that carries the yoke is subject to the one that put the yoke and has the harnesses, because the one that has the harnesses is directing the one on whose shoulders or on whose neck the yoke is. In other words, the one who pulls the yoke is a slave to the one who has the harnesses and is directing the direction to which the animal has got to go. I think all these three things are correct. I think in the context where we find ourselves, all these three scenarios are correct. First, the one about learning, being a disciple, we see that in verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," and learn from me. Literally, be my disciple. Be my disciple. So there is truth to the fact that as Jesus invites them to take their yoke, to take his yoke, he's inviting them to learn and to be his disciple, to practice what they are being taught by him. And there's also a sense in which they're subjecting themselves to him as the one who is master, as the one who instructs them in the way they should go. They're subjecting themselves to him, and they're being disciples, and they're carrying out his instructions, and they're doing what he commands them to do. They're surrendering to him, and they're saying to him, "Wherever you take us, whichever way you take us, we will do it gladly, because you are our master. Because you are our master." But also, it is true that Jesus never leaves his people alone. He never leaves his own alone. He never gives his own are able to bear. He never gives that which will crush his people without his aid. He's there to help. He's there to help. He's the stronger animal, as it were. Pardon me. He's the one that teaches the weaker animal to pull. He's the one that directs. He's the one that bears more weight than the weaker animal. So in that way, the burden will not crush those that yoke themselves to Jesus. So the instruction is, come and learn from me. Come, be my disciple. I think a lot of people think rest that the Bible talks about is sitting by the beach and doing absolutely nothing. But that's not the kind of rest that's being referred here. The rest that's being referred here is the kind that lays down the burdens that are put on or that are inflicted on us by society, all these things that are not God-honoring, and taking the instructions of Christ and doing what he instructs us to do. It's work that is done for the glory of God. H.B. Charles illustrates this point, and he says, the nature of true rest is this. True rest is not freedom from responsibility. True rest is found in holy bondage to the duty for which you were created. True rest is found in holy bondage to the duty for which you were created. And he asks these questions. Is it truly free when hurricane force winds uproot it from its bondage to the soil? Is a tree truly free when hurricane force winds uproot it from its bondage to the soil? Is a fish truly free when the fisherman's hook delivers it from its bondage to the water? Is a train truly free when it derails from the railway track and negates its bondage to the track. And the conclusion is, no soul is free when it's living in rebellion against the God who created it. True freedom lies in the submission of the soul to the Creator who gave it. True freedom lies in submission to the Creator who gave it. So we see here that the yoke to which Jesus calls his subjects to take up is work. It's work, but the kind of work that he instructs them to do, and the kind of work that glorifies him. The kind of work that will not weary them out. The kind of work that will not be burdensome. The kind of work that will be light. That's what Jesus is calling them to. We've seen the invitation. We've seen the instruction. And now I want us to look at the incentive. The incentive. We find three incentives here. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And incentive number one, I will give you rest. Jesus promises to give rest to those who come to him, to those who accept the invitation. The second one is in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So he repeats the same promise that he made in verse 28. And the last incentive is, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want us to look at these three incentives. The first one is rest. I will give you rest. So Jesus says, to those who accept this invitation, to those who come to me, I will give you rest. I want us to notice also that this rest does not come from within the people that are hearing Jesus speak. This rest comes from outside of themselves. It's not the kind of rest that these people can generate themselves. It's not the kind of rest that these people can conjure up. It's the kind of rest that only Jesus can give. He says, I, Jesus Christ, will give you rest. I will give you rest. And we see also in verse 29, he says, you will find rest for your souls. I want us to look at this rest. What is it? What is this rest that he's talking about? His promise is that they will cease from their toils. He is speaking about total cessation from their toils. What are these toils? What are these toils? We do know that the Pharisees and the scribes had been lording it over these people. They had given them rules and instructions. They'd given them standards that were impossible to attain. So these people were not going to be able to meet any of those. And Jesus says, I will give you cessation from these labors. I will give you cessation from these labors because you can't meet them. You can't meet them. I will give you rest when you accept the gift that I am giving. I will refresh you. I will refresh you. Because all these things that you're pursuing, all these things that you are made to carry will not satisfy you. I will give you true satisfaction. I will give you true satisfaction. I want you to permanently inhabit the grace of God, the grace of God that is found in Christ Jesus. I want you to abide in me, because only in me will you find rest. I will give you rest. That's the first promise that Jesus gives. The second one we find in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. So Jesus says to them, my nature, my characteristics are that of being gentle and lowly. I'm a gentle savior. I will not give you burdens that these Pharisees and these scribes have given you. I will not overburden you. I will not give you more than you are able to carry. I am gentle. I am gentle. And I am lowly in heart. When Jesus speaks about gentleness, he's speaking about the fact that he, although he's powerful and he can do what he can do, but he's not violent. He's not violent. He's not violent. He's rather gentle. It speaks about kindness. It speaks about patience. It speaks about sympathy for those that he deals with. So he says, my nature is that I am gentle. And because I am gentle, I will be gentle towards you. I am unlike these people that are wearing you out. I'm unlike them. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And I am of humble estate. I am of humble estate. Though God, I am of humble estate. And that's the incentive. That's the incentive. And maybe you're sitting here and you've tried and tried and tried methods. You've tried philosophies. You've tried many things. You've tried to achieve. You've tried to work hard. You've tried kindness or any of these good things, because you thought these things would earn you favor from God and favor from people. And yet you're still desperate, the same way that you were when you began. Jesus is inviting you today, is inviting you today to take his yoke, because he can give you rest, and you can rest assured that he'll be gentle as he deals with you, that he will give you a yoke that you are able to carry, because you yoke to him and he helps you as you carry the yoke. The third incentive that I want us to look at is in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. So he says, remember, you voluntarily pick up this yoke and put it upon yourself. And he says, my yoke is easy. What does it mean that his yoke is easy? It means that the yoke that you carry is specifically made for you, is perfectly made for you. It's perfectly made in such a way that it fits you as an individual. It's perfectly made for you so that it will not crush you. You will not be crushed under its weight, that you will be able to carry it. Easy. It is easy. It's a burden, but it's the kind of burden that you can carry. Again, because you yoked with him, because you walked with him, because he pulls most of the weight, because he aids you when you are unable to pull your weight. This is the gracious gift, incentive that our Lord Jesus Christ gives. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My burden is not heavy. My burden is unlike the burdens that you had gotten given by these Pharisees and these scribes. My burden is unlike the burden of the law. It is easy. And the reason why it is easy and light, the reason why the burden is light, it's because I help you carry it. So this morning, I think the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to perhaps two groups of people here, the unsaved and the saved, to those who are not saved. He's saying to you this morning, there isn't anything, that you can do that will help you earn your salvation. There's absolutely nothing that you can do that will earn you salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ Jesus Christ. But also for those who are saved, he says you can't do the sanctification thing on your own. The very sanctification is by grace. It is by grace. It is by grace through faith in Christ alone. It is the very grace that saves us, and it is the very grace that sanctifies us. It is the very grace that will bring us to glory. So for those who are sitting here and are unsaved, the invitation is open. Will you take it? Will you take it? Or will you continue to cave in under the burden of sin and misery and guilt? Here is the Lord wanting you to take his yoke, to let go of the yoke that you carry and take up his. And for those of you who are saved, here is an invitation also to let go of all these things that you carrying, the burden of trying to please the Lord by yourself, the attempt to conjure up strength and wisdom on your own to please the Lord. The Lord invites you that it is him who enables you to please him. It is him who enables you to carry his yoke. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that you're gracious to us. We thank you, Father God, that you invite us to come and know you. You invite us to come and have a relationship with you. You invite us to come and worship you. And this morning, Father God, we still thank you for the invitation, that this invitation still stands for sinners, those who are burdened by sin and guilt, those who are burdened by rules, those who are burdened by self-righteousness. Father God, we thank you that you're gracious. We pray, Father God, that you subdue their hearts so that they will accept this invitation. And for those who are saved, Father God, we just pray that we will live lives that are characterized by thanksgiving for the yoke that you give us, for being yoked to you and with you. Father God, that you enable us to carry your commandments. You enable us to carry your instructions so that when all is said and done, we will give thanks and praise to you because there's absolutely nothing that we can do on our own. So, Father God, help us to live for you, to endeavor to live for you, to please you, and to make you known. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.